The caller we had last hour who was talking about the departed John Otto, the talk show host in Buffalo. I wanted to read something that I just got. This is written by Bruce Jackson, who used to be one of John Otto's guests. I'll just read a piece of this. It said, John Otto, Buffalo's premier talk show host since 1962, died early Monday, December 6, 1999. He was 70 years old. He was brilliant at what he did. He could get anyone to talk about anything. You want to see the First Amendment at its worst? Go to Bad Talk Radio. You want to see the First Amendment at its best? Go to Good Talk Radio. John was Good Talk Radio. Sorry I did not know him. He would have been one of the best, I'm sure. Back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast Open Lines this hour. What a fast night indeed. Some more guests we're working on, by the way. You know, those one-hour guests that I'd like to do. We're working on trying to get Madonna to talk about the Kabbalah. We're working on the possibility of Tom Cruise to talk about not only War of the Worlds, but also his belief, his strong belief in Scientology. Pamela Anderson may join us talking about PETA, and there's a whole list of others. So we're doing some little twists and turns on that first hour for you, and we always open up the phone lines because I want you to have an opportunity to talk with these people. To the phones we go. As a matter of fact, let's go to our zombie hotline. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Rachel from Mesa, Arizona.
You're not a zombie, are you?
No.
Do you know one?
I've seen some.
Where?
In Pyramid Lake, a place called Wolf Creek Canyon.
What have you seen, Rachel?
I was low on gas, and it was night, and I pulled in, and the canyon, they say it's a canyon, but it's cut right out of the rock, and it's just a little settlement, and I stopped at the gas station, and I was sitting there waiting for the attendant, and then the hair on the back of my neck started standing up, first indication, and the guy was walking really slow, and I was like, geez, I know you're not, it's kind of slow. And I looked over, and there was a sign saying historical building. And it was like an old colonial type mansion. And I started noticing there was a whole lot of different people walking from different directions. And they were all walking towards me. And
were they all in that zombie state?
Yeah.
All of them?
All of them. I mean, it was like a movie or something. Was and I just decided I didn't need any gas.
I don't blame you. Were they looking at you or just dead eyes?
They were, you know, I was so freaked out. I think they were just basically kind of looking at the ground.
Well, I didn't know. What do you think was wrong with them, Rachel?
I don't know, but I didn't want to stay around. I knew something was wrong.
I don't blame you. Okay, thanks for the call. Next up, whose turn? West of the Rockies. It's your turn. Hi there.
George?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, this is Tom from Springfield, Oregon. I just want to tell you, I do a security job, and we see a lot of strange things happening, the graveyard shift doing security. And about 2 weeks ago, I got to tell you, I get a lot of people that cut across this job site where I'm working at, and this guy is just walking towards me. And we have a kind of a running joke about people that we see like this. If you hold real still, they don't even notice you. This guy got about 5 feet away from me, just about even with me, and he turned and he looked at me, and he had, like, no pupils in his eyes, just glazed.
All
just white.
All nothing.
Nothing. And he just turned back away from me, and he continued to cross the job site, and there's a canal full of water, not too deep, but deep enough, and he walked right through the blackberry briars, right down into the canal, up to about his neck, and back up the other side, and just continued straight across the field.
Can you get those kind of contacts that give you that white look?
Yeah, you can. I mean, I've seen people around Halloween with them, but this guy, this is a strange thing. It wasn't like out of the movies where their clothes, his clothes was all shredded or anything like that. this guy was wearing a decent pair of clothes. I mean, he was dressed not like he came out of a grave or anything like that, just a regular-looking person, except for the lights were on, but nobody was home type of thing. It was really, really bizarre.
You don't want anything to do with that guy.
No. And that we see stuff like that all the time doing this type of job. We see things that we just have a running joke that because they're so out there. This wasn't the first incident. A friend of mine does security across town, and he had a guy, it was probably about a year ago, literally walk over the hood of a car and back down the other side. I mean, there's like nothing that gets in their way. They just keep going. And, you know, if they see you, if you're moving and they see you, they actually approach you. But if you hold real still, this is the running joke. If you hold real still, it's actually true. It's not a joke. They will literally just walk right past you like they don't even know you're there. It's just bizarre. We see it all the time, though.
Zombies are everywhere. Thanks for the story.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it. Talk about strange stories. Out here in the L.A. area, there's a lake, and apparently a young man jumped off a boat. He wanted to go swimming in this lake, 175 feet deep lake. That's pretty deep for a lake. He jumps in the water and never comes back. Never. He's gone. His body, to my knowledge, as of today, they have not found him. It's been about a week. How could you jump into a lake that's not shallow and never come back? The body never floated back. I don't know what happened to him. It's a strange story. It's almost like something grabbed him, took him away. Wild Card Line, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Where are you calling from?
Columbus, Ohio. This is Melissa.
Welcome to the program.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you, I got to see the absolute most awesome thing in my whole life last weekend.
What was that?
I went to the Experimental Aircraft Association's fly-in in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was there, they had Burt Rutan's Spaceship One and the Virgin Atlantic Global Flyer on display.
Oh, that must have been neat just to see both of those.
It was great, and I actually got to see Spaceship One fly.
Did you really?
Yeah, they actually took it up on Saturday afternoon at about 5 o'clock. For a demonstration flight.
Hey, was Steve Fawcett there with the other plane?
Yep, Steve Fawcett flew in with the Atlantic, the Global Flyer.
Yep.
And I got to see that fly, and then they took Spaceship One up for a special demonstration flight.
He went around the world nonstop on that other flight. That was something.
He sure did. They actually talked about that one. They said that they had a 22,000 pound payload on that. Flight just for fuel.
Now, for the spaceship, how big did that look?
Honestly, it doesn't look that big. It's really round. It looks almost like an onion bulb. And what surprised me the most was the lack of heat shielding, the heat tiles on the front and on the front of the wing.
Well, you know what? It's funny you bring that up because I had that answered by our guest this week, Robert Zimmerman.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, that craft that went into space didn't go into the kind of space that the shuttle is. So on re-entry, it's not coming back at that velocity, and it doesn't have to come through all that. It's not
right up
that high.
Right. I got to hear Burt Rutan talk about it. He said the same thing.
Yeah.
So, and he said that he actually hopes within 15 years to have upwards of 100,000 people who have been outside the atmosphere.
Would you go?
Absolutely. Absolutely. After hearing that man talk, he is really inspiring.
Yeah, I would go too. Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I would go. West of the Rockies, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yes. Hey, George.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I'm Mike. I'm calling from San Andreas, California.
San Andreas.
Yes, it's in the foothills.
You're right there, aren't you?
Well, San Andreas, it's not our fault.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. No, we're actually located in the foothills, so we're way off the San Andreas Fault. But what I wanted to tell you was about 2.5-3 months ago, you had mentioned that you had seen someone, and you had seen them for a fraction of a second, and they were gone. Do you remember?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, about 3 days previous, I had seen Well, no, actually, it was the same night. It was the same night that you mentioned it, because you mentioned it 3 days after you saw it.
Right.
So I had actually seen the exact same thing in my house. Okay, now, I'm a firm believer in multi-dimensions, a lot of things, and I knew that what I saw wasn't a hallucination, because
you
don't really hallucinate something like that, right?
Same. No, yeah. It was not a hallucination with me.
No, what I saw was a man, and it was gone so quick I didn't get a good image of it. But it was a man, and it was just standing straight up.
Do you think there's some kind of time warp or something's out of kilter?
Okay, I'll tell you what I think it is.
All right.
A while ago, you had an ex military personnel, and he was explaining that he was part of the Philadelphia experiment. Okay, and he was he actually got involved with a scientist that had absolute control of time and space.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He said that what these people were doing with their absolute control were going back and forth in time and trying to adjust the population, correct?
That's true.
Okay, so what I think might have happened, because I connect this with all the scientists that are disappearing. Okay, I think maybe these guys are eradicating the scientists so they can release a nice virus with no one to kill.
Very possible.
Okay, so I think what might have happened is they sent someone and they didn't get it exact. So the guy, he pops up in my time, in my space, and he tells home I'm in the wrong spot, so they yank him out. But I think that they would have to be so exact, they would have to get it to the exact billionth of a second for him to leave no trace behind.
So when they grab him, it's just, they're off. They're off by
slightly
a bit.
Off.
You may be right. So something like that's happening.
Right. That's the only thing that I could possibly think that they are.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate you being on the show. Wildcard Line, it is now up to you. Hi.
Hello?
Hello?
I had a question about 6 months ago, me, my husband, brother-in-law were on our back porch.
Okay.
And there was, I don't know if I was talking to you or somebody else, but there's a huge ring in the middle of the sky with nothing in it but the moon. And I mean, it's like if you were to imagine a dartboard and that outer ring on a dartboard and no other rings in it except for the bullseye. And that's what it was.
You were seeing like it's like ice particles. The ring is the Earth, and the sun does that when it hits part of the planet and casts that up there. It is a beautiful sight.
Because I had never seen it before, and no one else could explain. I mean, there were stars all around it, but nothing was in the center of that.
Yeah, that happens.
Except for the moon.
That happens on certain nights. Pretty crispy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yep, it's called Hunter's Moon, perhaps. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Hunter's Moon. But it was cool because, I mean, it was a blue ring. And I was kind of like, I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing.
No, that happens every once in a while. Conditions have to be perfect, but when they are, it's weird.
Yeah, nobody else saw it.
Nope.
And everybody thought I was crazy except for, you know, my husband and my brother-in-law seen it. So, you know, they knew I wasn't lying.
When's the last time you saw a rainbow?
Last time I saw a rainbow was like 3 months ago.
Aren't those are gorgeous.
Yeah, we enjoy those.
Yeah, me too. Okay, that's what it is, though.
That is so cool. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello.
Hey, George, how you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Hey, I got a good story for you from Detroit, Michigan.
All right.
The story that took place, actually, I have a picture in my family. It's my father, my aunt, and my uncle on a farm in Oklahoma in 1964.
Okay.
When the picture was developed, my uncle's face was totally gone, but instead of his face, there was it looks like a demon's face or a gargoyle. It is unbelievable. We've had it in our family for all these years. I told my best friends when I was in high school about 10 years ago about this picture. I went and retrieved the picture from my father and brought it to the house, and there was about 10 of us sitting around looking at the picture. Well, where the story gets kind of wild is, later on that evening, after telling ghost stories and sitting around discussing and looking at this picture, one of my friends pulls back out the picture, and the features of the face had changed. The eyes had opened big and black, and the mouth had opened up on this picture, which appears to be like a little demon. Every one of us in that house that night looked at that picture again and agreed that it had changed. We got scared to death. We put that picture in a Bible. We went into a room, and all 10 of us sat in that room until morning. The next day we got up, we were in the kitchen, and we were talking. My friend's mother was out of town. We were in high school having a little bit of a party. But the next morning, we were all getting up and preparing for the day, and we were discussing what happened last night. Well, the minute we started discussing it, the phone rang, and it was my buddy's great aunt calling him. And it was like a 3.5 hour difference time because she was calling from Arizona.
Okay.
And she said, Phil, she says, I woke up and I had this horrible dream that you and your friends were sitting in the kitchen where we were, and that there was a demon walking around the house on the outside, looking through the windows and trying to open up the doors to get at you.
She picked up something.
Yes, it was unbelievable. And the picture's still in my family, and I'd love to send you a copy of it, or if you'd like to see it.
Sure.
I mean, it's just an unbelievable thing. And how I know this picture has some substance in it is when I got married, I had told my wife about the picture, and she didn't want nothing to do with it. She said, get rid of the picture. She's seen it one time.
Whatever happened to your uncle, though?
You know, my uncle's had a horrible life. You talk drug abuse, you name it, he's had it. And he's actually in his 40s now, and he's dying of leukemia.
Well, let me ask you something about that picture. What if that was your uncle? What if for some reason that camera captured a real image of the poor guy, and it was what you saw?
Very possible. Very possible.
Especially if he's been having the kind of life you say. I wonder if the guy's been possessed or taken over a long time ago.
You know what? I believe that. And he was a little boy when this picture was taken. And it's amazing because my father, he's kind of like hanging out. My aunt's hanging out. And then my uncle's stiff as a board in the picture. Like something took over his body.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's unbelievable.
Try to get me that picture.
Will do.
Okay.
Take care.
Don't get me the original, though. Give me a copy. I don't want the original around here. Wildcard Line, you're up on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi.
Where are you?
I'm Rachel from Landers.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, George.
You're bubbly at the wee hours.
Oh, well, I'm kind of excited to get on the show tonight.
Well, that's great. What's up?
Well, I have a witch for a mom, okay, and I'm 35.
You have a witch for a mother?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A good witch, I hope.
No.
Oh, no.
No, honey, she's not a very good one. I'm her oldest daughter. There's three of us girls. In 97, my sister committed suicide, but that's not what I called for. I called her Sunday, and I told her the truth about what I knew about her, you know?
About the mother of the witch?
Yeah, I called my mom, and I'm like...
What'd you say? Mom, I know you're a witch?
Well, yeah, pretty much. And that she needs to stop taking lives, and that I'm just aware of the truth of it all, you know, because I really wanted to be set free. There's a lot of, you know, like bondage, you know, in my life. And she, like, is in my life. Well, since then, up here in Landers, we have had more storms come up here, okay? Now, I've seen this power of hers before, and it amazes me, okay, how she can do this, but she can drum up this storm. And I'm not kidding, George, as of like the last 3 days, it will downpour right on me. And I'm in a fort, okay? I mean, downpour. And then the storm, it like bundles up right above me, and I'm in the desert. It just comes up and it just rains.
Why is she after people?
I think it's to keep herself alive.
She needs it. She's like a psychic vampire witch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. And I she's taken a couple souls, and I believe, you know, if I can help her, you know, it's time to stop.
Well, you got to try to help her. She is your mother, no matter what. Even if you believe that she's a bad witch, you got to help her. We'll back with more. Thanks. Well, let me tell you, I don't know if it's the program or what, but every once in a while in this studio, I will see like some kind of glow. It looks like a spirit. It is not. You know how sometimes you can see dust in a light and it kind of like has the shape. It's weird. Really weird things happen. Let's take a few calls before the net break. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, George. Barry in Ottawa. How you doing?
Hey, Barry, great.
Yeah, nice talking to you. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
George, I don't have any scary stuff to tell you or anything, but I've been listening to Coast now for about 5 years. first night, actually, I found it. I was working security at the time. I'm going through the radio stations, and Dan Aykroyd was on there.
Yeah, he was on with Art about that time period.
Yeah, and Dan, as you know, is from Ottawa. So,
yes.
You know, I clued into it, and that was, like I say, the first time I listened to the show, it just blew my mind that Dan was talking about plasma balls and this sort of stuff. And
he loves his stuff.
He does, man. He's right into it.
Yeah.
And anyway, it's kind of a funny story because, again, him being here from town, they back in 1994, they wanted to give him the key to the city, which they did. But they were telling him, you know, Dan, we'll basically get you a limo and we'll take you down with police escort down Bank Street, which here in town will lead you right down to Parliament Hill. And Dan says, well, that's great. You know, I appreciate the honor and my hometown and all that, but can my wife and I ride our Harleys down? And they said, sure, if that's what you want to do, we'll look into it, but we don't see any problems. So anyway, they did. And that night he played at the NAC, the National Arts Center here in Ottawa. I had tickets for the show, and him and his wife and Jim Belushi, they drove the bikes right up on stage.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I just wanted to fill you in.
Isn't it a shame that John Belushi's not with us? Because those two made one heck of a team.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Jim, he's, you know, they're like twins. I mean, he really puts on an
Yeah.
If you get John Goodman with him, too, man.
I know Goodman. I know, you know, he's from St. Louis.
Oh, I didn't
And
know.
I've met him a couple times, and he is an investor in our affiliate down there, KTRS.
Cool.
And just a great guy.
Yeah.
Great talent.
I thought, oh, they're all great guys for sure. My kids and I, we love all their movies and stuff. So anyway, I just wanted to fill you in on that. I've been listening tonight on 840. We used to get you here in Ottawa. We don't anymore. So 840 is out of Kentucky, and sometimes they get you out of South Carolina.
Yeah, we've got to work on getting another affiliate in Ottawa. It's one of the few cities in North America we are not in yet.
Yeah, you were, and then they dropped it for a while, and you come back, and now it's been away for a while. But I can get you usually on 640 out of Toronto as well. But tonight, for some reason, I'm getting Kentucky a little bit better. But that's the greatness of AM, man.
Yep, you got it. Thanks.
Thanks, George.
All right, appreciate it. There's a long story about that Ottawa station that I will not get into today, but it is as bizarre as it comes. First-time caller line, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, how are you?
Good.
Good. I'm Sean. I'm calling from San Antonio, Texas.
Well,
a few things. One, I believe I have psychic ability. It comes and goes. But, no, the reason why I'm calling tonight is because I was telling your manager or whatever that back when I was a little kid, saw a ghost. And my dad owns a cemetery. He doesn't own it, but he runs a cemetery. And we have a freezer in the garage.
What's the freezer for?
He came because we don't have room at the house, so he kept the freezer over there. And, you know, he keeps meat and food and stuff over there. And one night he said, go over to the cemetery and get the food out the freezer and then bring it back. So I said, okay. Well, I went to go over, and about 2 feet is the path. I got to the edge of the path, and I saw this figure, a white figure, black hair. She just angelic-like. And I got scared. And I went back. I said, Dad, somebody's over the cemetery. He's like, oh, you're making it up. So I said, okay, fine, I'm going back over. I said, but if I see it again, I'm not going back over there. You're going over there yourself. And I went back over, and it was gone. It was gone. It didn't exist.
Just out of there?
Yeah, just out of there.
And you sure you saw what you saw?
I believe it to the day. It's true as I'm standing here.
Any other witnesses?
No. And the thing of it is it started with me as a child. And it started with my uncle before. I've never met him. He died before I was born. And, you know, stuff started happening in the house. And, I asked my mom, I said, Mom, what's going on? She goes, oh, that's just your uncle Carl. Don't pay no mind to him. He'll be all right. And, she said, he said that before he died that she was going to be present with me and that he would watch over me while I was growing up. Well, sure enough, he did. Every night, he'd come into my room, and all I had to say was, Carl, I'm fine, and he would just up and walk out.
I love it. Is he still with you?
No. I told him, you know, I said, I'm going to die, you know, I'm fine, and I said, you can go ahead and go. And he sure did.
All right. Thanks for the story. The good old uncle still hangs around. Let's go to our zombie hotline. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Hi. My name's Gabe, calling from Indiana.
It's my dad's name. My dad's name is Gabe as well.
Well, actually, it's Gabriel.
That's what his is.
Well, pleasure to introduce myself to you. Really enjoy your show.
Thanks. What's up?
Well, I started listening to your show about 3 months ago, and something came up in one of your shows. Don't know really what made me think of this. But anyway, I had an experience while traveling in South America, in Brazil in particular.
What happened to you?
I met a friend at a popular beach town, and a girl approached us during the night, you know, hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, the next day, I saw her again, and she asked if I could take her to her folks' house by bus, you know, maybe 2 hours away. I said, sure, that's fine, because
why would she need you to take her in a bus? Why didn't she just get on it herself?
Well,
there's a reason for it.
Yes. And so we show up this town. It's in, there's an area of Brazil called the Sertão. It's like a big desert. So we arrive at this small town, and there's this big white, not a church, but a very large building. We walk in through the door, and there's a long corridor, rooms on each side, and then a second story above with rooms on both sides, like a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And I have no idea what this building was. And she never even told me. We walked down the corridor, and there's a big, garden in the back. And there's a man sitting there, and there's a woman coughing in a room that I couldn't even see where it was. So there's a woman coughing. This man's looking really angrily at me. The girl I'm with walks away, and I'm sitting there. And also, there's a cardboard box with a cat in it.
A cardboard box, and there's a cat in the box?
Yes, and okay. He was really disturbed at the bus station where they had some meat on skewers. This roaming cat grabbed a skewer, and a bunch of guys beat the cat almost to death. And
so he saved the cat?
Right, and okay. He was really disturbed about it, and this young boy comes in. He asked the boy to go get some organs from a goat, and he said, you know where to get them, just go get them. And he came back with the organs, and then this man sat at a table under a cashew tree and sliced the organs open and wrote notes and put them in there and then strung the organs back up.
Oh, my God.
Well, and this person who was coughing, this woman that was coughing, I don't know, maybe she was a zombie. She walked out of the room eventually wearing some sort of nightgown. She was maybe in her 60s. And there was just this glazed look. He looked at her. She looked at me. And there was something was just really bizarre. And this was 6 years ago, and I really don't know what to think of it, and I was caught in the middle of it. And he looked at me, and he goes, do you know what's going on? And I said, no. What do you gather so far?
I think something very strange was going on with that whole group of people. I'm glad you got out of there when you did.
Well, it wasn't disturbing at the time. I was just a bit, you know, perplexed.
Well, it's probably more disturbing now that you think about it.
Yeah, I'm curious what the listeners think.
You should be lucky he wasn't stringing you up like he did some of the goat parts, to tell you the truth. Okay, the time's a-wasting, so let's take some final calls here. First time caller line, where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Lorna in Yuma, Arizona.
Lorna, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you?
Good.
I'm kind of bothered by this Tom Biscardi.
The Bigfoot hunter?
Yeah.
Okay, how come?
Well, the last time that you had talked to him, he made it quite clear that he was going to go out and capture this creature because he wanted to prove to everybody that he'd been right all these years.
Okay.
And it sounded like that was his main reason, ego. And so I'm just uncomfortable with him going out and exploiting this animal for his own ego. And as he did mention, and you asked him about, I kind of worry about what these scientists will actually do, you know, hurt this animal or scare it to death.
Or dissect it.
Yeah, they could do just about anything.
I don't think if Tom catches it, he's going to let that happen if he doesn't get misled by somebody.
Right, but I can also see the media and God knows who else descending on that part of the country and going out and just tramping through the woods.
Well, I'll tell you, if he finds one, you're darn right, that's probably going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I'm not real easy with this at all.
Okay, well, sit back, because he thinks he's going to find one.
Well, maybe we could send some good energy towards the Bigfoot.
Well, while we're doing that, let's say a nice prayer for the astronauts for the shuttle discovery, too.
Yes, so and the woman whose mother's a witch.
Yeah, that's going to take more than a prayer, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
You take care. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, I'm Charlie on Kauai, the northern Hawaiian island.
Charlie, it must be gorgeous up there.
Oh, it absolutely is. But I invented a free energy machine I talked to you several times about.
Oh, that's right. This is you.
Yeah. I just have to keep talking. But maybe we can continue your lines on whether I'd sell out or not. And I don't think I would because... I don't think they could enforce it by normal business means, so it would be dangerous for me. You could put it that way.
Now, how big is this apparatus?
It depends on the amount of power you need. It uses buckyballs spaced 35 nanometers apart, so you can get a... I'm getting nervous. I think 100 billion per square centimeter, and I think that each diode will make a nanowatt, so you'll get 100 watts per square centimeter at room temperature.
So what does that mean?
Well, that's 600 watts per square inch.
Could you run a house?
Yeah, but even though I think each appliance will have in its own little unit in it, so you won't have to have wiring except for big appliances.
How did you invent this, Charlie?
I just chased it down in high school reading Isaac Asimov.
And you just did it because you just fiddled around and?
Well, I thought he talked about thermodynamics because there's a big theory in science that you can't do this just because you have to have a higher temperature and a lower temperature most of the time. But this machine takes heat at one temperature and cools itself down to the lower temperature.
Charlie, have you had anybody look at this machine?
Yes, I'm talking on several websites and trying to interest some people. And the nanotechnology people gave me a introductory quote of $50,000 to do the nanotechnology fabrication of them.
You got a $50,000 grant to work on this?
No. I need a $50,000 grant.
Oh, you need $50,000.
Yeah, but I mean, that's doable if I get people with that kind of money to give it to the people that are going to make it.
Yeah, but see, they're going to want to figure out how they're going to make money doing it.
And that's very difficult because I want this thing to be free and it's easy to copy once it's made because it's just bucky balls on top of a semiconductor.
Well, let me tell you, be safe. You know, when you start talking about free energy, you know what that means.
Oh, well, like the scientists, I guess.
Yep, absolutely. Look what happened to Dr. Eugene Malov, too, huh? Be careful. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
This is Corey calling from Las Vegas.
Hi, Corey.
Fine. How are you, Mr. Norrie?
Thank you. I'm fine.
It's so nice to talk to you, and I've been listening to the program, and God bless people like you and Art Bell. There are such programs. Anyway, I have a very interesting story to relate to you. Back in around 1980-81, I was soloist for Unity Church in Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
the minister had approached me on the street. You know, I was singing in the hotel there. She said, would you like to be my soloist? I said, okay. So she made me soloist and platform chairman. Anyway, one day she announced to the congregation that she had a call from her daughter in Dallas.
Okay.
And she said, Mother, I heard this man, Benjamin Krem, speak in Dallas on the Lord My Prayer, and he was wonderful. So our minister, Reverend Jean Beggs, was a marvelous woman, incredible woman, invited Ben to come to Santa Fe to speak at the Sheraton Inn.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, there was one of the gals there who was a member of the congregation who I struck up a friendship with, and she was a marvelous lady. Of course, our friendship was on a very high spiritual level, because she was married, you know. But I found this woman fascinating, too. And her name was Gina, and she and her father left Germany. Her father was a Lutheran minister and had to run away from Nazi Germany. So they came to this country, and she married this guy. And she was a member of the church. So anyway, the day that Benjamin Krem was speaking, we were in the lecture room there. And, of course, it was divided, you know, with the aisle going up, dividing the
sure.
sides. And so Ben was talking, and all of a sudden, Gina was sitting across the aisle on the other section, right across from me. And I don't know if it was during the break or while he was talking, but I turned and looked at her, and she transfigured. You know, and into a very beautiful woman. Her face shone like, her head shone like the sun.
Do you think the Maitreya came into her?
No, but she had transfigured into the beautiful woman. So when the lecture was over, I went up to Jean Beggs, our minister. I said, why was that shown to me? She said, well, you probably saw Gina in that life of prayer and meditation when she had been a nun.
Now that's fascinating all by itself. With Benjamin Krem. Well, it's good to know there's a good story around Benjamin. Thanks. We've got to move in Dr. Morgus, who's rushing in to tell us about this.
Did you ever think, as a coffin goes by, that you might be the next to die? They wrap you in a long white sheet and put you under 6 feet deep. Oh, it's all right for the first few weeks, but then your coffin starts to leak. The worms crawl in and the worms crawl out. The ants have a feast on your stout. Your body turns a grassy green, and mold starts growing on your spleen. Your flesh disintegrates like rust, and then you slowly turn to dust. How could this happen to me, you said? But brothers and sisters, let's face it, you're dead.
And for Karis Corburn, Steve Carr, Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesur, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie for Coast to Coast AM. Ian Punnett on Saturday. I'll see you Sunday. Until then, have a great weekend and be safe, everyone.